Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 26th of November, recording at 8:36 p.m. Now, first I should say Happy Thanksgiving Day to all our American subscribers. I hope you're enjoying quality time with family and friends, excellent food, and the football. You're not missing a whole lot here in terms of the markets today. It's been quite a nervous day in stock markets, well, and in other markets as well. And it all started with China weakening today on concerns over higher reserve requirements for the Chinese banking sector. As additional evidence of tightening in that market, that produced another downward dynamic. We then had, I'm not sure about the actual sequence of these events, but we then had credit default swaps soar, and the main contributors to that were Dubai, which has asked for a deferment on some of its loan repayments for property developments. And then there's a lot of concern about Greece's ability to pay its debts. And then, of course, people say, well, who else? And look at Ireland and Italy and Spain. So what we actually saw today was some quite widespread selling in stock markets. And of course, the U.S. stock market is closed today for the Thanksgiving holiday, but Asia was weak pretty much across the boards. Maybe the best performer, there were the A-share indices in China were down over 3%. The Hang Seng was down 1.78%. Probably the best performing market in the Asia Pacific region was Australia, which was just down about 0.25%. The European markets fell more than 3% on average. And I see Brazil's down 2.25%. So hits pretty well all around. In contrast, as you might expect, long-dated government bonds did quite well. That includes the Eurobonds, from the Eurobonds through the Treasuries. I think the Eurobonds actually did best. And when I said Treasuries, I meant the U.S. Treasuries. The U.S. dollar rebounded today, and we saw some quite sharp dynamics on those charts with the Euro. For instance, losing all of yesterday's gains at one point, but then picking up a little bit off those lows, but the euro is back to 1.5011. Precious metals were hit for a while, and then they improved with palladium, I see, closing unchanged or up 15%. 15 cents, I should say, 15 cents to be accurate, so virtually unchanged. The platinum market sold down to 1453, but currently 1462. Silver fell 30 cents at one stage, but regained 2/3 of that. And gold was down $10 at one stage, but then closed up on the day. And am I correct in that? No. Gold bullion itself is actually down $3.4. It's at $1,188.38. The gold future, I see, is the one that's higher at $11.92.80. Okay. Crude oil also weak, down to $76.23. So what's going on here? Well, I mentioned the catalyst, and to a modest extent, it falls into the black swan category because I think I've said in one or two of the audios recently, might have been Friday, might have been Monday or Tuesday, I know I've said it at least once, that markets were still in a corrective phase overall, but they were quite, that's, I'm talking about stock markets, but they were quite steady within that corrective phase. And for a bigger reaction to occur, we might need some sort of catalyst that wasn't immediately apparent right now. Well, the Dubai news and perhaps the concerns expressed over Greece have provided that. And to my knowledge, nobody was talking about Dubai. If we think about what people were saying, let's say a week or two ago, I think we've known really since last year that property developers in Dubai were in trouble. There have been numerous articles about that, but I think the suspension of loan repayments certainly qualifies as at least a mini black swan in my definition, at any rate. So that's shaken confidence here a little bit, producing some downward dynamics. It'll be very interesting to see what happens both overnight in Asia, excuse me, and with Wall Street tomorrow. The U.S. futures closed down fairly sharply. The Nasdaq, for instance, is down. That's the Nasdaq 100 is down 44 points. The S&P is down 24 points. So it might be a nervy period here tomorrow with a little bit more profit taking. I took some profits here today in my platinum and silver trades. I did it near the low of the day, so I would have received better prices had I waited, and I may regret the move. But seeing the choppy activity, and I also have another consideration in the sense that I will be away for part of next week because I'm giving some talks at an investment conference, two investment conferences, and one in London and one in Manchester, that are sponsored by the dealers group. So I knew I wouldn't be able to stay on top of events, and thought, well, I'll stand aside. I'll stand aside here and see what happens. But Owen commented on the Dubai situation and also the Greek situation, and you'll see some relevant charts in that section overall. And I think that we both agree that this has the possibility to provide somewhat deeper reactions in stock markets than we've seen. As you know, the corrective phase for the most part has been what has had action that was quite steady among the leaders and among the bigger stock markets. Now, will that continue? Well, that will be challenged, that view. But remember, we would need to see stock markets break their progressions of higher reaction lows. And in that event, then the possibility of a further reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages, bigger correction, and deeper reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages actually increases. I certainly don't think this is the end of the bull market, but we know that so many of these stock markets had rallied well above their 200-day moving averages. That's something that's been a concern for me for some months now, and therefore we may well see as a bit more mean reversion before the overall upward trends are resumed. Why do I think the overall upward trends will be resumed? Well, I certainly don't expect any monetary tightening. That would be something that would really worry me. And I don't expect anything other than some short-term profit taking. And I've talked about those three canaries in the coal mine. We are very unlikely to see much more monetary tightening while these markets are roiled, or there are debt repayment concerns. And the crude oil price has eased further in here today, so that's not a problem. And long-dated government bonds have slipped a little further, so that's also a problem. So there's still plenty of liquidity out there, but a point I've made before is that it's sentiment that determines where the liquidity actually goes. And in the very short term, we are seeing some of that money flow back towards treasuries, both short term and long term, and we may see a little bit more profit taking in some of the stock markets and in some of the commodity markets. One of the other canaries that I've mentioned that I previously in broadcast is the US dollar. I don't see a problem there, and indeed we don't have one because the dollar has been ranging, and although it fell yesterday, it's back within its ranges here today for at least the short term. If there's a currency problem out there, and there's always a currency problem out there, one of the problems, which Owen mentions, is that the weaker European economies are unable to improve their competitive position by devaluing. Now, some think that's a very good thing, but it also creates problems in the short term. And the other currency situation, I've said before on a number of occasions that I think that the yen is much too strong for what the Japanese economy can actually handle. And you've got the Chinese renminbi, for instance, and also the US dollar, down near their lowest levels for many years against the Japanese yen. And that is one of the main reasons why I feel that the Japanese stock market has underperformed in recent months. Now, what about other commodities? I think if what we've seen for a number of months now is that when stock markets are up, then the commodity markets have been quite firm. When people are feeling a little bit more confident, we've seen money flow into the so-called riskier assets. And vice versa, when people become a little bit worried about markets, then we've seen just the opposite happen. They sell stock markets and sell commodities. Overall, on balance, we've seen much more money flowing into stock markets and commodities this year than flowing out. But in recent months, we've had a lot of two-way activity with the trading ranges that you can now see on a number of stock market index charts. And that will, I think, hold or delay the resumption of upward trends, providing a further consolidation for many stock markets. And I think we'll probably also delay a resumption of upward trends for industrial commodities. What about precious metals? Again, gold's performance is impressive here today, but sentiment in markets can be really quite volatile. And well, again, emphasize the point that while liquidity trumps most other factors most of the time, it's sentiment that determines where the liquidity is actually going to go. And the short-term risk, I would say, for gold and the other precious metals is that people might conclude that they've got some very good short-term profits, and they might want to book some of those profits. Now, the more pressure that we see in the short term on stock markets and industrial commodities, I think the more likely it is that people would be tempted to take some of those very good profits in precious metals. Now, on the other hand, if markets steady, or if investors say, well, this is an even better reason for moving into the precious metal sector, then they will continue to outperform. Overall, I'm uncertain in the short term. I think that liquidity and the economic recovery will help to drive stock markets and commodity markets, and certainly precious metals within the commodity sector, higher around year end and or certainly in the first quarter of next year. Now, I look forward to seeing what happens tomorrow. I think it'll be lively. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.